Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to a bonus edition of the Locked On Bucs podcast. I am James Yarko, flying solo on this episode. You can check out everything David Harrison and I are doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks underscore Nation. If you're new to the show, please subscribe, leave a five-star review. It does help other Buccaneers fans find us. David is still feeling a little under the weather and had a really long drive on Saturday, so he is not able to make it for this quick reaction episode, but we're going to have more on the fallout of the Buccaneers' 34-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans in their second preseason game coming up tomorrow. But a couple of things to note that I did want to talk about first and foremost is there's no way Bruce Arians can be happy with the performance of the Buccaneers. And I understand, I had mentioned it last week, that the final score doesn't matter. There are certain things that you want to look for in preseason games, especially when you don't have the starters playing. They had a makeshift offensive line. The only starter that was dressed was Alex Kappa. You didn't have your starting quarterback. You didn't have your starting defense. You had a couple of guys that you're going to see plenty of playing time out of during the season, whether that's Tyler Johnson or Jalen Darden or Scotty Miller or Joe Tryon Schoenka or Nacho, you know, any of those guys, you know, they are going to get plenty of playing time throughout the season. One guy in particular that should get plenty of playing time throughout the season but might have put that in a little bit of jeopardy is O.J. Howard. And I saw some people talking about it on Twitter, and at this point, it's hard to disagree. It's the time for talking about O.J. Howard's potential is long over. You know, we've talked about his high ceiling, the potential for his play. He's such a great pass catcher. He's so great in the blocking game. The guy had inexcusable drops on Saturday against the Tennessee Titans. Drops that hit him dead square in the hands from Blaine Gabbert. And I think he had one drop thrown to him from Ryan Griffin. It's just inexcusable at this point. O.J. Howard is supposed to be like the next big thing at tight end for the Buccaneers. And yeah, they brought in Rob Gronkowski last year, and that turned out to be a great move, especially after O.J. got hurt. And when O.J. got hurt, he was leading tight ends in receptions and receiving yards. And I think he was tied for the lead or tied for second in touchdowns. He was having a good year. And all of a sudden, he can't seem to get his hands wrapped around the football and had some critical drops that killed drives. The Buccaneers didn't get onto the Titans' side of the field until it was either late second quarter, maybe it was even the third quarter. It was a long time. And a lot of those were drive-killing drops by O.J. Howard. You cannot have that. For a guy in his fifth-year option who's either going to get paid by the Buccaneers or become a free agent, in a landscape of tight ends that are not, you know, effective, you have your elite tight ends, guys like Kelce and Kittle and Waller. You have your guys that can be impact players like, yeah, I think Tyler Higbee's going to have a good year. You've got TJ Hockenson, who I still want to see some more out of, but he's shown that he can be an impact guy. Robert Tonyan in Green Bay. Where does O.J. Howard fall in this? Because right now, he looks like he's the third best tight end on this team behind Gronk and Brait. It was a bad performance by O.J. Howard. Something else that Bruce Arians isn't going to be talked about or isn't going to be happy about are the missed tackles. This is 2 weeks in a row now that the defense has struggled mightily at tackling, the most fundamental thing that they do. And it's not going to surprise me that by the time you're listening to this, if there's already been cuts made like there were last week following the loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. There are guys out there that were fighting for roster spots, and the only thing they put on film was negative plays. Missing tackles. You know, they did a great job of swallowing up Jeremy McNichols, but we all know what Jeremy McNichols is. once the Titans put in Sargent and Hill as the running backs, the Bucs defense couldn't tackle. Unless you're Tryon Shoinka, Grant Stewart had some good blocks, tackles. Nacho had some good tackles. Pat O'Connor was an absolute just behemoth all day. But once you started getting into the linebacking core and the secondary, it was missed tackle after missed tackle after missed tackle, and it's inexcusable. You are the defending Super Bowl champions, and from what we've seen put on tape through 2 weeks, if one of these starters gets hurt, anybody who comes to fill in for them is a liability. The corners continued to struggle. The safeties continued to struggle. There were bad penalties. There was a penalty, I didn't write it down. I can't remember who it was on. It was Brooks, Nate Brooks. On a third down stop on third and two, lined up in the neutral zone at slot corner. You just gave the Titans a free first down for an inexcusable mental mistake. And you're battling for the final cornerback spot on this team? Sorry, Nate, but you're not going to get it. It was bad. And the game seemed to drag on forever because of how poorly the Bucs were playing. That, and it was just a really, really long game. I don't really know why, but there are a few more things that I would like to talk about first. I want to give a shout out to some people out there that are trying to make my life easier, trying to make your life easier. And if you own a car, they're trying to make everybody's life easier, because with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and sitting in your pocket right now. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, from brake parts and tail lamps to motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Just write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Continuing on here, I'm gonna get on my soapbox. It's been a while since we've had a James solo episode soapbox. The quarterback usage in this game was infuriating. I talked about it over and over and over on the podcast. I wrote about it for BucsNation.com. We needed to see Kyle Trask taking reps as the second quarterback in this game. We all kind of knew that Blaine Gabbert was going to get the start, because if Tom Brady, God forbid, goes down, it's going to be Blaine Gabbert that you see take over on the field for him. Okay, I get it. Blaine Gabbert goes out there, plays a couple series, great. Now you need to move on to Kyle Trask. The Buccaneers did not. They went to Ryan Griffin. Ryan Griffin played the rest of the first half. Then Kyle Trask came out in the second half. Now, to the Bucs' credit, they did have Tyler Johnson out there with Kyle Trask to start the third quarter. I don't remember seeing Jalen Darden out there. I think Scotty Miller was out there for like one or two plays, but this was a guy who was back behind a full offensive line of players that are not going to make the team. Like, the offensive line that they had piecemealed together was just absolutely atrocious, and it affected Trask's game. If you go back and watch, which I don't recommend because it was hard enough to watch the first time, but Trask was under pressure almost immediately after the snap. So now his internal clock is moving faster than it needs to. And even when he's not under pressure, he's forcing bad throws because that clock is ticking down because he doesn't have time. Then he's scrambling around behind the line of scrimmage trying to buy time and then getting hit from behind by linebackers who aren't being blocked by a makeshift offensive line. It was just a full-blown disaster. Now, he had some good throws. Some were caught, some weren't. He had some bad throws. He had two interceptions that were deflected off of, one was deflected off of a Titans helmet. It was not a great pass. The other one was deflected on an outstretched attempt to catch the ball. The pass was a little bit long. It would have been a tough but very impressive catch, and it stayed in the air just long enough to be intercepted and returned inside the Buccaneers' 20-yard line. So again, we've seen good and bad from Trask, but it's hard to put all the blame on him when he's out there with 10 other guys and one of them might make the team. We know what Ryan Griffin is. He's a guy that has been in the league for, almost a decade and hasn't played in a regular season game, or he's taken one snap in a regular season game, whatever the case is. He's not going to play. He's a healthy scratch to get down from the 53 to the 47 on game day every single week. Why is he taking valuable reps away from your second round draft pick? It makes absolutely no sense at all. And he's not going to get, Trask, is not going to get much playing time in the next preseason game against Houston. The starters are going to play the first half. They might even play into the third quarter. That's the dress rehearsal game. And it's going to, even though there's only three preseason games, that's going to stay the dress rehearsal game. Then they have a week in between their game against Houston and the kickoff of the season against the Dallas Cowboys. So you're still going to get your rest for your starters in there. But are they going to go with Ryan Griffin in the fourth quarter next week? Or are they going to give Trask some meaningful reps with guys that he might actually be playing with? It was beyond infuriating to see that happen. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I know more than Bruce Arians or Byron Leftwich or Clyde Christensen, because I don't. If I did, I would be on the sidelines and not behind a microphone. But what I do understand and what I do know is that if it ever gets to the point where Ryan Griffin is your starting quarterback, your season is shot. Why aren't you giving Trask a little bit more help as he gets acclimated to the NFL game in these preseason games when you can do stuff like that? You sent Bradley Pinion out to kick a 61-yard field goal because it's the preseason. You had the Bucs line up for a two-point conversion, then audible into a field goal that was waved off because you kicked it from the wrong spot because it's the preseason. Why isn't Trask getting reps with guys like Jalen Darden? And again, he had some with Tyler Johnson. He had some with Scotty Miller, but not enough. Why isn't he out there with players that are going to see playing time in meaningful games? Why is he still sitting behind Ryan Griffin in preseason games? Because that entire dynamic messed up what Kyle Trask was able to do, and it took away from the bright moments that he did have. It's just, it was mind-boggling. I talked about it. Bailey Adams from Bucs Nation was tweeting about it. Ben Murphy from WTSP, who was on the show on Wednesday, he talked about wanting to see it. You know, I'm not the only one, but it is what it is at this point. We've seen the most Kyle Trask we're going to see for the season. And if he gets some snaps in Houston, great. If not, I guess it's par for the course. I just wanted to see more, because what I saw when I was down there at camp a couple weeks ago, what I saw in practice with guys that were out there that were going to make the team and that were going to play, you know, contributing roles to this offense, I saw Kyle Trask making some absolutely incredible passes. And it wasn't in, you know, just quarterback and wide receiver drills. It was against defenses. It was in 11-on-11s and 7-on-7s. And I wanted to see more of that against competition that wasn't his own team. Not going to get it this year. It's disappointing, but it is what it is. But you all know that I wasn't going to be able to go through this episode and not talk about my frustration and disappointment in the order of the quarterbacks as they were trotted out. They even talked about it on the pregame show there on WFLA that Blaine Gabbert was going to start, but they expected to see Kyle Trask come in as the second quarterback. That didn't happen. Rondé Barber was talking about it. He wanted to see more of Kyle Trask. It is what it is. It is what it is. Real quick, before we move on to my final complaint of the episode, something that I'm not going to complain about is how absolutely fantastic and delicious Built Bars are. You know the flavors. Coconut, cherry Barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried these flavors, you can go ahead and get yourself a mixed box. You're going to get two of each of those delicious flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bar, but they're healthy too. Each of the bars, anywhere from 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Wrapping things up here on a reaction bonus episode following the Buccaneers' loss to the Titans by a score of 34-3. And I'm recording this as Bruce Arians is speaking to the media, so I don't know what he has said. I don't know what other players are speaking to the media. I wanted to get this knocked out. It's late. I'm tired. I still got to get up and go to work in the morning. But wanted to get initial thoughts out there. David and I, hopefully David is back, he and I will react to some of what Bruce said, what some of the other players were saying following the game. But something that is sure to come up was how absolutely god-awful that call was that led to a Titans defensive touchdown when Kyle Trask threw an absolute bullet to Tanner Hudson, who then gets hit in the leg, his arm is going down, his elbow hits the ground, ball pops out, they rule it a fumble, picked up by the Titans, returned for a touchdown. Automatically reviewed, no big deal. I'm saying that it's going to be ruled down by contact. Rondé Barber and Chris Myers are saying, oh, that's very clearly down by contact. You have other media members sitting there saying, oh, well, yeah, it was ruled a fumble, but this is going to be overturned. Hudson was down by contact. A referee comes out and he says, nope, call stands. It was a catch. It was a fumble. It was recovered by the Titans. The result of the play is a touchdown. I'm sorry. What? The ball was not coming out of Tanner Hudson's arm as he was going to the ground. He was touched. His elbow hits the ground. Boom. He's down. The ground can't cause a fumble. So at the absolute worst, you should have ruled it incomplete. Instead, the Bucs got absolutely hosed on that call. Now, Bruce Arians absolutely blows a gasket on the sideline, and I tweeted out from the Bucs Nation account that he should. That was one of the worst things I have ever seen. Greg Alma tweeted out, can you challenge a challenge? And the referees were explaining that they believed the ball was coming loose before his elbow touched the ground. Well, replay after replay after replay showed differently. Hudson had control all the way to the ground. Then his elbow hits, ball pops out. They say it's a fumble. No, he's down by contact. And that was kind of the beginning of the unraveling for the Buccaneers there. That touchdown made it, I believe, 20-3, when in reality, it should have still been 13-3 with Trask completing the, I think I saw Greg Allman say that was the longest play by the Buccaneers in the preseason. It was a 26 or 28 yard gain, and it was an absolute beauty of a pass, just an absolute dart. And to have it upended the way that it was just mind-boggling. And that leads me to a bigger point. It's preseason for everybody. I understand that. Like my third tweet, I wasn't able to tweet last week because, as you all know, I was down in Florida. My wife and I drove home that Saturday. So, you know, by the time I got home, 16 hours in the car, I was exhausted. Bailey Adams took over the Bucs Nation account. I tweeted a little bit from my personal account, but I was wiped out. So I'm tweeting about the game. It was my third tweet tonight, and I screwed up a word. Misspelled a word, and I'm like, it's preseason for everybody. These officials have one more week to get their act together. Because we saw a questionable call against Tryon Schoenka last week. Now, I personally agreed with the call, judging by the letter of the law. A lot of people are making the referee's comments of, we might have screwed that one up. You know, they're making it out to be a bit more than it actually is. I saw somebody tweet out that they were actually referring to the spot that they placed the ball, not the unnecessary roughness call itself. But then we see this absolute just swing and miss by the officiating crew on the Tanner Hudson fumble. And on top of all that, something that affects more than just the Buccaneers, it affects the other 31 teams in the NFL. This taunting crap, get that rule out of here. How are you going to sit there and last year implement team celebrations, but you're going to have a stricter enforcement policy on taunting? There was a guy from the Colts that was fined $3,700 for taunting in the first week of the preseason. And if he doesn't make the roster, that is half of his training camp earnings. After a bulldozing 14-yard run where he just moved an entire pile of grown men, yeah, he's going to be hyped up and excited, and you're going to fine him for that? Get out of here. It's absolutely ridiculous. The NFL needs to fix that policy immediately. But more importantly, these referees need to get on the same page. They need to figure out what it is that they're doing, because you can't have calls like that in the regular season. You can't have momentum swinging official reviewed plays going awry and completely changing the course of a game. It was next level bad, like all time bad. And if this was a regular season game, imagine if that happened to Travis Kelce. Imagine if that call was made where Travis Kelce was the receiver and it cost the Chiefs the game. That is the only talking point you would hear at the top of every sports show for the next 3 days. ESPN, NFL Network, Dan Patrick, Rich Eisen, Pat McAfee Show, Mad Dog, all of it. That is the lead story for 3 days. Now, it was preseason, and it was a fourth or fifth tight end on a roster with a rookie fourth-string quarterback throwing the ball, so it's not going to get talked about. But Bruce Arians was beside himself, and it was one of the worst calls I have ever seen in my life. You got 2 weeks, but you have 1 week of games, officials, to get this stuff figured out. Because we can't have that stuff in a league where games are won by inches. And you are going to hand a team a free touchdown on an egregious call because you screwed up a replay? Yikes. Big, big yikes. With that, this went longer than I was planning, but hey, you know, that's what happens when I get on my soapboxes, and David's not here to rein me in, but hopefully he'll be back with me tomorrow. We'll have more fallout from this game. We, depending on what time we record, we might be talking about which Buccaneer is in the NFL's top 100, numbers 40 through 11. I think it's Devin White. If it's Tom, if Tom Brady didn't make the top 10, I give up. I wouldn't even know what to say. But we'll have some audio from Bruce Arians and other players that spoke with the media following the game, and more reaction to a very forgettable preseason game. Only one preseason game left, and then it's the Bucs and Cowboys to kick off the NFL season. I can't wait. With that, please check out everything going on over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82, at Bucks_Nation. If you have comments, questions, reactions, anything involving this game, go ahead and give us a call at 813-444-5841 or send us an email to LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding Sunday. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at